Get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery, hi.
Sorry about the late start everybody, but do bear with us, this is live radio after all. And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show we focus on education. And through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be having listeners' questions. So if you would like to join us with a question, then it's toll-free and the lines will be open. And in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. But that international call isn't toll-free, I'm afraid, but it's only a quick call. So we do look forward to your questions, and you can put them to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay. It's not a reading type of situation, but it's, if you've got things pertaining to the spirit world or anything less physical, paranormal, spiritual questions, anything that's pertaining to your maybe gifts of spirit, mediumship, or your spiritual searching, then this is the show for you. So do join us, and I'll pass you over to Mick, and then we'll get on with the show.
Well, thanks. Hi, I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirits Work, on the wonderful, fabulous, and ever-present bbsradio.com every Sunday morning, that's 10 a.m. Pacific. We have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other huge list of services we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, as regular listeners will know, each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend very long talking on with chit-chat at the beginning of our shows because we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world, and Gregory Hay always has plenty to say. Anyway, unfortunately, I tend to kind of miss everything because I'm the instrument and that's what I do. So I kind of have an instant out-of-body experience, and that's exactly what I'm going to do now. It's a bit like dying, really.
Oh, great. That makes us feel really good.
I die at least four times every day. No, anyway, it's not that I'm playing at it. It's a real event for me. And this is something that has been developed with spirit over many years. And so I'm going to say goodbye now and hope you all have a very good program. Enjoy the interaction. Thanks very much. Bye.
Thanks, Mick. Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are made up of scientific minds of all description plus ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. Hopefully to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this isn't Mick passing information from a non-physical entity. It's totally lights out for Mick, and we always welcome the complete consciousness of Spirit Guide Gregory Hay. So So, as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. You can also see us again on Sundays at 1 o'clock on the secondlife.com in the Mystic Academy at the New Oracle Temple, if you would like to interact in this way once again there. Slightly different, but a similar situation where you can instant message into Gregory. And today we do have some listeners' questions, and we thank you for that. Rosanna's got some questions that she sent to me, and also I think we've got one left from Ruth. Anyway, let's welcome Gregory. Hello, Gregory.
What ails thee, yea, my fruit?
Why did you say that?
Hello, my dear.
Hello.
Hello, Ben.
Very good.
I was harking back to my own physical Earth lifetime.
Oh, really? Is that how they spoke in the area that you came from?
Yes.
Mm.
Quite so.
Gosh. Okay, well, that was enough of that then. So, well, here we are then. A few technical problems to start with, but we're okay now.
And I see you have some curly tails out in your garden then, friend.
What's that, bunny rabbits?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Mm. Okay. Have you just been back there for a visit or something?
Yes.
Right, okay.
I was having a quiet little ponder in a local watering hole.
Right. I see.
Called the Red Lion.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well maybe we can talk about that another time.
Yes.
In more depth, you know, I mean, why would
yes,
you do that?
So. And
yes, exactly.
Not what nostalgia, really. I was reacquainting myself with some friends at the time, yes. Not to say that they're tethered there or anything of that nature. Many beings on our side of life visit from time to time certain places or certain memories of their own physical life. Not because of some plaintive state of mind, but that it's just actually quite nice to do. And why shouldn't we?
That's interesting, because you would think that, you know, you only come back to either visit your relatives or loved ones, or that you come back to in service, you know, like you are and like other guys do.
Yes, I understand.
But you actually do come back to enjoy the energy of a place that you liked at the time and just to see how it's getting on.
Absolutely.
So are you saying that the people that used to frequent that place as well still visit there, so you know that you can go and visit them, but they're not tied there either, but they're in spirit?
Yes, well, it depends.
Because you wouldn't know other people there now. It's
300
years ago.
Yes, quite so. Absolutely so. So it's people from my time field, people that I knew, and we, in a sense, break bread over it.
Really?
Yes, quite so.
Very often do you do that?
Not that often, no. But at times we catch up with one another. I actually went there with Ham.
Your friend Ham, yes.
No, my relative Ham.
Yes. Well, he's more than a relative, though, isn't he?
Yes, quite so.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely so. And, yes, and that was something that was most rewarding for all of us, I feel.
Mm. So, and do you reminisce when you do this?
Well, it's nice to be able to walk in that vibration again, in a sense, in the memory of it.
Mm.
As those times were not dull, they were very much full of life, you see.
Yeah. That's interesting. And I guess because you can become indivisible, then it's not like that you have a day off or a time out or whatever. You can still be doing something else, can't you?
Yes, that's
somewhere
quite
else
true.
At
of
the
course.
Same time.
Yes. Yes. A part of me always remains, in fact, within the halls of learning because I have so much to do there. At this time, as I have had for hundreds of years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I actually think that we can't really jump off from this subject just at the moment now. I think we need to talk about this a little more because...
Well, we do,
because I think that's really fascinating. We can't leave people dangling, saying, well, you know, how did he do that? So I think we need to talk about that.
So part of you...
Okay, so you become indivisible, which means you can actually split your consciousness into...
Many parts.
Yes. And be in many different places at once, doing completely different things.
Yes, just very similar to how many women are able to bring that about in their conscious physical life.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay, so part of you, your consciousness remains in the spirit, in the halls of learning in the spirit world.
Always, yes.
Okay.
Because in a sense it's like, I have a tether there now. Because I am so much associated with the White Cloud Group. It is a core energy for me. You see?
Yeah, okay. So is this in the halls of learning of Arcania, your soul group? Your soul group?
Yes, quite so.
Okay. And is it in a particular area of the halls of learning where your consciousness is? I mean, what can other people see you doing things there?
Yes, I am still able to communicate with others
right.
in the halls of learning, even though, for example, I'm here talking to you.
Mm.
And even though I was, in a sense, not back in my own time field, but actually visiting your present time field. My point, however, is that I am able to visit other time fields of the same area, of course, if I wish.
Can you explain that?
It's difficult. If I feel a certain attachment, shall we say, a certain longing or wishing to view a specific time in the spirit world, perhaps to do with some bygone age, perhaps it's just 30 years ago from this present time, or perhaps much longer ago, not necessarily my own time field, but some other time event.
Mm-hmm.
I am able to actually visit it. This is really because I suppose you could say that my energy and my consciousness is because of the deeds I have managed to state and carry out on behalf of the conscious minds of others and the will of others and also, of course, the souls of others. I have a kind of an open key, if you like, which means that I can visit any other time field or secular state purely and simply because I am not a being who is negative in any way. So therefore I am not going to bring an at risk, I am not going to create any kind of mayhem within that time field and then disappear. Yes?
So you've ascended your vibration. I know we hate that word, ascended, but...
Well, I have transposed it.
Yes.
I have simply transposed it because of the deeds I have created and because of those situations which have illuminated my pathway. That doesn't mean to say that I set out to do that, because it is my will to do that out of a longing to improve myself. And because I have that wish, that energy, vitality, and core visual state of consciousness, if you like, this is what I want to be, is to improve myself, my whole self, so that not just of Gregory Hay, but of the spirit that I truly am, and to depict that spirit in all of its glory, as I am able to do. And make manifest in whatever dimension I am present at the time, in how many dimensions I am present at the time. So if it's a matter of every when or an everywhere, then I suppose in an everywhere I cannot dissipate myself too much because the algorithm of energy which is depicted by that or which is gathered by that just simply dissipates into the fact of it becoming less and less. So it takes a great deal of core energy to be able to do that to any great extent. I am certainly able to dissipate myself into 5 or 6 or maybe even 8 different places at the same time. Although my level of expertise at that happens to be somewhat controlled, in a sense, by the energy of the group at the time.
Yes, because you've actually done more than that as well.
Yes, quite so. But it really does depend upon what is happening at the time, the energy of love perhaps coming from the physical world, or the energy of love coming from elsewhere within the spirit world.
Yes, I mean, I know this is something, this is why it's interesting, because this is something that is open to everybody's progression.
Yes, quite so, absolutely, wholly so, yes. So progression is open to all in every sense of the word.
So when you're doing something, like, let's go back to the halls of learning. When you're in the halls of learning,
yes,
and then another part of you is doing something else, somewhere else, so people can see you visually, so you can manifest yourself how you want and have completely different conversations and walk around and...
Yes.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, absolutely. And not necessarily the same age time either. It's not relative to how I want to present myself as a needs must. I am not bound by the very specific cell structure or memory time as I was as of the last moment of my physical breath. You understand? So I am able to present myself as a child. I am able to present myself even as a much older being. That doesn't mean to say I am creating a vigrancy. I am not evading anything by doing that. I am merely showing that there is an ability within all beings to be able to transcend their own consciousness and actually use the active living consciousness of cell memory, which you have brought with you to the spirit world upon your passing, that this, in fact, makes it a perfectly equitable situation.
Or that you, okay, but what if you did? You hadn't had a physical life and you were never intending to have one, you never want one. You said that you brought it back with you, so you still have a cell memory anyway.
Yes, quite so.
Would you still call it the cell memory?
Well, I would,
probably not.
Probably not, no. It's usually to do with an acquiescent memory. An acquiescent memory is of pure memory of the spirit. That means to say that a pure memory of the spirit of acquiescent type is able to bring about a complete focus of identity which is non-physical, but yet appears in a physical attribute. So, for example, acquiescent peoples, or peoples that use the acquiescent form of themselves, may, for example, produce themselves as angels, or something like that. Perhaps because if it is the conscious memory will of the physical being to want to transcend that, or maybe that's what they expect to see, then that is, it's through acquiescent memory that enables them to do that.
And is that usually because they haven't had a physical life on Earth, so they haven't been, how should we say,
tainted
by...
Yes, have not been leveled into the murky world. So that means to say, of course, that all spirit who have not had physical life are generally able to depict themselves as beings of an iridescent form.
Like fairy.
Well, yes, to a point. They don't usually, are not usually, in a sense, it's not an allowance of the spirit world. That doesn't mean to say there's anyone policing it, but it's not usually to do with an aura specific or a graduation specific of cell structure to enable anyone of the pure light of the spirit world to just epitomize anyone, or to take on that cell structure. That usually takes the actual journey to be remembered, to be able to do that.
So I have a problem. Why would anybody want to have the physical life on Earth, then, if this was going to be the case, that it was going to taint your chances of becoming Well, you can still become an enlightened being.
Yes, absolutely so. It's not that having a physical life is always going to take your chances of being an enlightened being. You are an enlightened being anyway. My point is, purely and simply, that the physical life situation, the sickness of physical life, is there purely as a physical life. It's not that it detracts from your spirit, but what tends to happen is that if your conscious physical journey is something of a negative state, or is something that is lowly and derivative of your journey, then it means that what's actually going to happen is that you will then paint or wear a thick coat upon your beautiful, pure spirit.
Mm.
That doesn't mean to say that your spirit is then tainted by it. Your spirit is still pure, still beautiful.
So are we all risk takers then? Maybe everybody who wants to have a physical life on earth.
I think
gambling people.
Well, I think really it's to do with the courtship of the extension of consciousness. And what tends to happen is that spirit who have a physical life are there not just to observe, although some of them do, and don't actually take part in their physical life, yet while others actually take a very active role in their physical conscious life. And so really it's a matter of what one being does as opposed to someone else.
Mm.
The way that you may react to your physical life is in part due to the environmental exchanges that you have with others. After all, you are not on this physical life, Earth, alone. Or at least one would hope not. I understand some people are, and remain so alone throughout their entire journey.
Mm. Well, I'd like to say thank you if you've just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and if you'd like to join us with a question, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. It's a free phone in the US, 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll free, it's 001-530-876-3222. So, well, actually, that sort of leads on quite nicely to some of Roseanne's questions that she wrote in. And this is what you can do, folks, if you want to actually, if you would prefer to write your questions down in an email to me, then I can ask Gregory on a program on your behalf. I usually let you know if I'm going to do it and or when I'm going to do it, just in case you're not going to be able to make it that day. But anyway, Roseanne's question. She has a few questions on anger and criticism.
Yes.
When someone says something to you that has a negative intention, what is the best course of action?
The best course of action is the first thought. This is not personal. Know that this is not personal, because the other person's anger toward you means they do not know you. If they knew you, they would not be angry. Remember, another person's anger toward you is usually because they have a lesser knowing, and their anger arises from not knowing.
Okay.
It's a very simple fact.
Yeah.
People usually are angry because you aren't doing what they want you to do.
Or you're doing something that they don't like you doing.
You're doing something that they don't like you doing purely and simply because they have a different intention or a different descriptive. They want power over you. So become angry and resentful at your clear contact with yourself.
Well, is this anything to do with, is this something that we can learn through our childhood and upbringing? I mean, isn't this, how to deal with anger and how to, you can't say to a child that if somebody's angry with you, then it's not your fault.
The point is, friend, Yes, to a point. The thing is, friend, that people often find that what an angry person expects from you is reaction. That's why they're being angry. They want reaction from you, usually to the negative, so that they can understand their power control is maintained over you. The simple fact remains, friend, if you, as a sacred being, simply step back from that angered person, watch what they do. If you smile at them, watch again. Sometimes a person smiling at an angry person just makes them more angry.
Well, yes. Absolutely.
But and the point to remember is that if the angry person is going to follow through with the event of what they have created, and usually what happens is one of two things. An angry person will either dissipate from the energy that you put out, because you don't put out anything, you are not responding, so therefore it's like their energy will come back and hit them. And oftentimes you will see that an angry person will step back from that. If they do not, then they are going to do whatever and carry through whatever it is they want to do anyway. And part of what you are doing or ensuring is not to allow them to win, not to allow their anger to win over you. So, in other words then, if they go to strike you, the thing to do is to be attentive of where that physical action is coming from and use avoidance from it.
What, like running?
Yes, or if it's in close encounters, simply move out of the way. Oftentimes, people become blinded when they are angry. So they are also oftentimes very slow to move or to realize if you actually take avoidance. In which case, friend, if you are the person who is at the end of this, you need to maintain your conscious control of all of your physical faculties. Remember that any amount of anger will become dissipated, either in the event that the person engages with their power and wins the moment, in which case it's just a moment and will pass. Remember, nothing is permanent. Therefore, whatever anger is dissipated from someone else will eventually come back at them, particularly if it's a condition over innocence. So if it's a person who is angry because you have not reacted in the way they want you to or expect you to because of their power over you, it will oftentimes come back to bite them. Simply by your disengagement of them even being in your space, as if you were reacting like they're not there.
Well, absolutely. I know you can feed. Negativity just feeds a negative attack, doesn't it? If you retaliate with negative, same, then that just perpetuates.
That's what they want you to do. Because it then gives them an excuse to carry on.
I mean, we have to stick up for ourselves and speak our mind and all of the rest of it. I mean, you're not saying that we should all be just lambs lying down and being walked over. But in specific situations where you can, if it's somebody that, and it's obvious to you that they are being negative about you, to you, and that sort of thing, then you say, don't feed it with a negative response.
Absolutely so. Step back from it. It's not necessary to engage it. And you will find that you maintain your power.
Yes, and others can see, and others around can see as well, that where exactly the negativity is coming from then.
Yes, exactly so.
Yeah.
They illuminate themselves.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've seen, there's nothing more, well, embarrassing watching somebody having a go at somebody else and then them not reacting at all, and they're just left, well, just red-faced and...
Oh,
there's
yes.
nothing to play with, is there?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
That's quite true.
And if it's violence, then, well, you know. Okay, that's interesting, because it's like, you know, a big question, that, really. You know, what is the best course of action? Well, don't feed it with negativity, then, is the short answer.
Don't feed it with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you blank the person out, that even becomes even more irritating.
So... Roseanne says, is anger a natural form of emotional expression?
It's very interesting, dear friend, because if you look in the natural world, there are very few instances of real anger. Events usually happen, for example, of fight or flight, that generally tend to happen not through anger itself, but that happen with a different condition. Anger is something which appears to be only, and I'm not going to say higher sentient beings, because otherwise that would denote that dolphins get angry or whales get angry. Whales actually get mournful, but they don't display specific signs of latent anger other than when they are anticipatory during mating and that kind of situation. It's not that they actually get angry, but they have jousting conditions between themselves and other male suitors, or something like that.
Yes, and that's something completely different, isn't it, really? So is it a natural form of emotional expression?
It appears to be a situation which happens specifically to primates, I have to say. Many primates become angry. Chimpanzees are the worst of it. They get very angry, very quickly. But many others too, lemurs as well. So many different kinds.
But you do get the alpha animal condition in dogs, horses, whatever.
That's
and
quite true.
Cats as well. I mean, they can be really nasty to each other.
Yes, but the aggression is not usually because of something flippant or trivial,
right,
and not usually self-made. It's usually that aggression occurs because of specific standpoints of A and B. In other words, where one person, one entity, is at point one, and that they want to be at point B, but they can't because someone else is there.
Yes, but it is power and control.
That is power and control to a certain extent, yes. But it's not the same kind of anger, in that human beings tend to hold resentment, which is a much more deep-seated situation. Some would say due to their intelligence, but in actual fact, elephants are just as intelligent as human beings. So too are dolphins and whales, and to a certain extent, certain kinds of birds.
Yes, well, they don't plot and scheme, do they?
No, they don't. Their anger is arising at the moment of impact, at the moment of need. Once the situation is passed, they're licking one another, or they're picking fleas out from one another's coats, or they're grooming one another in some way in order to placate them, in order to quell and dissipate the energy lost between them. So that they are conditions that are made up. Yes.
It's more of a natural form to do with the natural, like we've been talking about recently, you know, about survival and that sort of thing, driven from a different place, basically.
Yes.
Genetic, and that sort of thing.
Yes, quite so, absolutely.
Okay. All right, survival, basically, I'm thinking of, aren't I?
Yes, but as I say, that kind of anger is dilute, it's very short-lived, and it's only to accommodate the energy needed to overcome certain situations. So they're usually driven by the pituitary gland, by chemical adhesions which create and fire off certain analytical contents within the synapse of the brain in order to trigger emotions and releases of energy surges and chemical reactions in order to overcome the problem.
And usually the person, I mean, because this in my canine behavior studies, usually the dog or the person, shall we say, whoever is actually the most aggressive, is usually the most insecure.
Yes, quite
trying
true.
To get to the top by...
Or to stabilize their own that. Position.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And usually the event within dogs and cats and that kind of animal, it usually comes about because of their insecurity and also because perhaps other situations or culminations of relationship within the pack are simply not met, are not created, and therefore they actually feel quite fragile, so they have to break out of that fragility in order to stabilize themselves. It's usually through that. It's through fear.
Yeah, well, yes, and with people, it can be, you know, if you rock somebody's position in the hierarchy of a group of people or whatever, the family, you name it, then that can be another reason for anger being directed at somebody who they feel is threatening their status and position in that pack, particularly the family, the group. Yes?
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Of course, if you are looking at a situation of multiples, shall we say, whereby various adults within the group are chastising or having situations with offspring and that kind of thing, that's a juvenile, a parent-child situation, which is actually quite different. The siblings need to be shown the parameters of their world and what they can and cannot accept. It enables them to gauge whereabouts their cutoff points are to do with their chemical interactions and their synapse control. So in a sense, it's like setting the pattern down into their brainwave activity so that they understand the parameters and morality that the tribe expects.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, another question from Roseanne. When someone repeatedly shows up late or is inconsiderate of others, and you discuss this behavior with another, is this considered criticism or judgment? Or an observation of someone else's behavior?
That very much, my dear friend, thank you for that question, depends upon the energy with which you think it, feel it, and believe it. So it's a matter of how you think, how you perceive. Are you thinking and perceiving in order to encourage that person to be better? Or are you actually tearing them off a strip, diminishing their energy because you wish to rise above them? These are very pertinent questions for self-consciousness and mind.
Actually, what we were just talking about, if you're trying to raise your status by talking about them and making them feel, appear.
Oh, quite so. Good wishes, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And you see, so you have very, very many different energy qualities that are coming from you, from your consciousness, and you have to think, well, why am I actually thinking like this? It is because I want to perhaps become higher in the pack, stabilize my position in the pack, diminish theirs by doing so, or are you doing it through a vicarious mean that you actually wish to improve their lot?
Or just make an observation in just purely in conversation.
But that's like saying, where does the observation finish or begin, and where does judgment take precedence?
Well, that's what she says, yes.
Exactly so. My conditioning of myself within the White Cloud group means, in a sense, oh, do I ever tread on the toes of the scientists involved within the group? Do I actually think beyond them? Well, sometimes, of course, I will actually say, this energy feels wrong. From my standpoint, not of ignorance of the scientific ways of the team, but of how that energy interacts with me, I may say to them, do you think this is a palatable way to continue when perhaps we are making this client or this being sick mm-hmm. by our presence?
Mm.
Or do you think we should refine our energy in some way so that we can harmonize and magnetize within that energy and therefore make it more subliminal, make it more harmonic? Is that surely not the empathy that we are trying to bring about?
But we do have to talk to each other about things because we have to evaluate our judgment.
Yes.
You know, am I being unreasonable in saying this? Or do you see this as well?
Yes, because it's like verifying that the mud in your field is what you suppose it to be.
Mm.
Is it going to grow the right kind of grass? Or is it going to be actually something which is detrimental to a certain kind of seed you are wanting to plant? These are seeds of thought. These are, as in, seeds of your acclimation as how you want to preserve or pursue your morality, how you wish to presume your space in your world, whatever that world may be. So it's a matter that's pertaining to spirit as well as to your good self.
Mm.
In whatever energy disenty that is happening at this time.
I mean, if it's something that you have to make a decision about, and it's based on, like, say, for instance, in this situation,
yes.
This inconsiderate behaviour of others, and you're telling somebody else why you're doing something because of this person, then that's not really discussing it in a judgmental way, is it? It's actually explaining the way why you are behaving like you are.
And why you have gathered it.
And
exhibiting it.
Yes, not that this person, you expect this person to do something on your behalf or actually start feeling the same way about that person. But
no, the point really comes from, in a sense, are the behaviours that you display has a certain depiction of morality code that you have encountered in your evolutionary state of physical life at this present time. Does that mean to say that you are using that as a measured yardstick, usually, in order for you to assimilate with someone else, whoever that is? Now, in the human state, there are various acts of division that other human beings make, whereby their reality, morality code of reality is not the same as yours. Therefore, their energy you would regard as being lower or as being this or that. You struggle with the contention of what they are trying to achieve and what your perception of their achievement is. The truth of the matter is, friend, it's very difficult for one being to get inside of the conscious mind-will attempts of someone else, purely and simply because of the difficulty of justification. You have not come from that environment, from that set of disciplines, set of situations of presence and energy which have helped to shape that conscious decision-making process.
I don't think that we can live in such close proximity in the masses that we do, with the amount of people on this planet and
yes.
not actually discuss other people. You have to.
I understand that because you are actually searching for a form of commonness that makes you feel comfortable, that makes you feel that you don't have to protect yourself all of the time in every single being's presence, but that there are actually some beings who are reminiscently very harmonic to you and therefore react in a very positive way in your light and you to them.
Mm.
That is how friendships are made.
Mm. Yes, I mean, and we can't possibly go through life not judging other people. We do it when we see the news, every day, every minute. We are doing it, whether we like it or not.
Because all physical beings have an opinion.
Yes, absolutely, and we have to get to the other side, really.
Absolutely.
I think we all know, don't we, if it's spoken in a malicious way or in a detrimental way, negative way, that I think if you're on your pathway, you would know if it was wrong, really wrong or not
to
do that. You'd feel it
absolutely.
In your solar plexus, wouldn't
yes,
you?
Yes, absolutely.
Actually,
so.
This just sounds
you
like
think.
Gossip. This just sounds really, you know, tacky and
yes.
low.
However, even the best will in the world and the most spiritually minded beings have been prone to do that, just that very situation.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Because everyone loses a moment here and
there. Well, yes, but if somebody is being totally inconsiderate of you and everybody around you, and it's blatantly obvious, and you discuss this because you're actually, it affects you because you are affected by this as well, and it's all a knock-on effect. It's just, you know, you have to discuss things, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's very interesting questions. Very interesting questions. Thank you, Roseanne, for that. Anyway, well, we've come to time because we had a slightly shorter show today, Gregory.
Yes, quite.
Thank you, but it was very interesting.
Yes, with love and light and blessings be upon your pathways, my dear friends. Thank you all that, particularly Mr. Don, you said, thank you so, dear friend. God bless upon your journey, friend. God bless.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, if you want to find out more about us or book yourself an Akashic reading. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and you listen to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.